Go ahead and keep your Bibles open to that passage, and we'll be starting there and working our way through into chapter 5 and through chapter 5. How do you select a doctor? Do you ask a friend? Do you go online, read reviews? Today, some folks will put out, ask a recommendation on Facebook, if you have Facebook. And then your friends and everyone that you know on Facebook will give you recommendations of not just doctors, but it's like that. Ask for recommendations. Maybe you read those reviews online or about a doctor, about their staff, about the hospital or the clinic. We try to put a name with the face and maybe how long they've been practicing medicine and maybe where they went to medical school. It really depends, though. Is it an emergency? Or do I have time to do some research? If I need something done ASAP, I want someone who's going to take care of me. But if I'm picking a pediatrician for my son, where there's going to be a longer relationship, that's going to take just a little bit more time. Choosing the right doctor is a tough decision. There are a lot of factors. Time, travel, cost, what it means to our overall health. We want to know that we're in good hands. And if we can have extra assurance that we're in the best hands, then yes, sign me up. That's what I want to hear. But scary times come upon us. Whether a life-threatening storm, a sickness that's overtaken us, or maybe suffering that seems to be unending. Or maybe it's one of those scariest moments when we're on the verge of losing a child. Mark is writing about all of these situations right here at the end of chapter 4, all through chapter 5. And as the scripture was read this morning, Jesus is in the boat, sleeping at the back, pleading. The water is breaking in over the sides, filling up the boat. His disciples finally wake him and plead with Jesus to do something. Teacher, don't you care if we drown? Jesus stands up, calms the wind and the waves. Verse 40, he said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and they asked each other, "Who is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him." Who is this? This is the question. Jesus' identity is important for Mark, but it isn't only his name that Mark wants to reveal, but it's his nature, his character, his power. And there are these three stories here in chapter 5 that help us to answer this question posed by the disciples. Who is this? The first story, about the first 20 verses of chapter 5, Jesus and his disciples have crossed the Sea of Galilee to the region of the Gerasenes. And just as soon as they arrive, a man comes running from the tombs to meet them. This man is loud and shouting. He's cuts and bruises all over his body. This man is strong and appears violent. He was able to break the chains from his hands and feet that had bound him. This was a man tormented by his demons. The nearby town had long abandoned this man to the tombs. This man falls to Jesus' feet. And follow along with me in verse 7. He shouted at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? Swear to God that you won't torture me." For Jesus had said to him, "Come out of this man, you evil spirit." Then Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" "My name is Legion," he replied, "for we are many." And he begged Jesus again and again not to send them out of the area. A large herd of pigs was feeding on the nearby hillside. The demons begged Jesus, "Send us among the pigs. Allow us to go into them." He gave them permission, and the evil spirits came out and went into the pigs. The herd, about 2,000 in number, rushed down the steep bank into the lake and were drowned. Those tending the pigs ran off and reported this to the town and countryside, and the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons sitting there, dressed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. Those who happened to see it told the people what had happened to the demon-possessed man and told all about the pigs as well. Then the people began to plead with Jesus to leave their region. As Jesus was sitting in the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him. Jesus did not let him, but said, "Go to your home, your family, and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how He has had mercy on you." So the man went away and began to tell the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him, and all the people were amazed. Who is this? He's the merciful Lord. The one who said, "Go home to your own people and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how He has had mercy on you." He is the one who sees the wounds. He is the one who sees the pain. He is the one who sees who's been chained and cast out. And Jesus has the power to heal. And Jesus sees him and wants to give him what he needs most. To a man who had a legion of evil living in him, to be shown mercy. Our second story is tucked actually into the third. In the continuing verses, Jesus and his disciples have returned back across to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, and a large crowd has gathered while Jesus was by the lake, and Jairus comes and gets Jesus to go see his daughter. And it's while they're going, while they're working their way through the crowd, everyone pressing in around him, Jesus asked, "Who touched my clothes?" Read with me in verse 24. So Jesus went with him. A large crowd followed and pressed around him. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had. Yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and she touched his cloak, because she thought, "If I just touch his clothes, I will be healed." Immediately, her bleeding stopped and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. At once, Jesus realized the power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my clothes?" You see the people crowding against you, his disciples answered. And yet you asked, who touched me? But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet, trembling in fear, told him the whole truth. He said to her, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering. Who is this? He's the one who says, go in peace and be freed from your suffering. He's the one who sees the suffering, who sees the loneliness. He's the one who spent everything to be mistreated and be misdiagnosed. Jesus has the power to heal. And Jesus sees her and wants to give her what she needs most. To a woman who has lost a great deal and suffered far too long, to be given freedom from her suffering. For our third story, we need to sort of return back to the beginning of our second story, back at the lake, where Jesus is standing by the crowd and Jairus comes to go visit his daughter, but it's not quite that simple. It's because Jairus is a synagogue ruler and the last person anyone wants him to go and see is Jesus, but he does. And he does so pleading on his knees. You see, this situation for Jairus and his family is quite dire. Jairus' daughter is very sick. And Jairus puts it another way. He puts it a place past sick. Read with me in verse 22. Then one of the synagogue rulers named Jairus came there. Seeing Jesus, he fell at his feet and pleaded earnestly with him. My little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live. So Jesus went with him. This story continues in verse 35. After the healing of the woman, while Jesus was speaking, some men from the house from Jairus come, the synagogue ruler, and they say, your daughter is dead. Why bother the teacher anymore? Ignoring what they said, Jesus told the synagogue ruler, don't be afraid. Just believe. He did not let anyone follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the home of the synagogue ruler, Jesus saw a commotion with people crying and wailing loudly. He went in and said to them, why all this commotion and wailing? The child is not dead, but asleep. But they laughed at him. And after he put them out, he took the child's father and mother and the disciples who were with him, and he went in to where the child was. He takes her by the hand and says to her, Talitha kum, which means, little girl, I say to you, get up. Immediately the girl stood up, walked around. She was 12 years old. At this they were completely astonished. He gave strict orders not to let anyone know about this and told them to give her something to eat. Who is this? He's the one who comes to your home on the worst of the worst days. And he takes your daughter's hand, her lifeless hand, and he restores life back to her. He's the one who sees a father's love. He's the one who sees the devastation of death. He's the one who will overcome death. He is the resurrection and the life. Jesus has the power to heal. And Jesus sees them. And He wants to give them what they need most. To a family who had suffered inexpressible loss, to restore life. So, who is this? Jesus, Son of the Most High God? Well, this is written to offer us hope. It's written to offer us a place to find healing, a place to find peace, a place to find relief from torment and suffering, and ultimately a place for life, eternal life. Earlier in chapter 2, Jesus was quoted saying, "It's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick." The great physician has quite the resume. Quite the resume. And Mark wants us to know about Jesus as this doctor. This merciful doctor with the power to take on a legion of evil. Mark wants us to know about this Jesus as this kind doctor who cares and has the power to heal after years of suffering. Mark wants us to know Jesus as the attentive doctor with the power to restore even from the grave. Everyone is gripped with fear. The disciples are gripped with fear. The townspeople, the woman, even Jairus, afraid of what Jesus might do. So much power. But He says, "Don't be afraid. Just believe." Mark is trying to paint the picture. Mark is trying to show us Jesus. And so that after seeing Him, we aren't afraid. We see His love. We see His compassion. We see His mercy. And yes, even His power. So that we say, "I want Him to be my doctor. I want Him to be my physician. I want Him to see what I need most. And I want to rely on Him to give that to me. He knows just what I need. He knows where I'm broken, where I'm suffering, where sin has overtaken me. He knows just what I need. Do not be afraid. Jesus wants us to go to Him for healing. We need healing. We need relief. We need life." Jesus invites us. Matthew 11:28. He says, "Come to Me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take My yoke upon you and learn from Me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For My yoke is easy and My burden is light." If this morning you would like to respond to God's invitation or have any need, please come and make your request known while we stand and while we sing.